Hello, how is everybody?
Living a dream.
Living a dream.
Yeah, not my dream, but somebody's dream, I'm sure.
Everyone else's dream.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. The summer off-season is coming to its conclusion now that Bayern Munich have completed their final preseason match. But despite having a relatively quiet off-season, there's still a lot of excitement surrounding the Bavarians as they head into a fresh campaign under new coach Julian Nagelsmann. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to discuss everything we've missed over the last few months with my friends, Garrett Kerber.
Hello, friends.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And of course, Sebastian Zimmerman.
Aye.
Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, we have taken a bit of a break here at the Super Bayern Podcast, just as Bayern Munich have. And really, it's been a kind of a quiet offseason for Bayern Munich, which has, you know, been okay for us, meaning that we haven't missed out on discussing too much. But there is enough that has gone on that we felt like we needed to get together, put an episode out a little bit ahead of the season before we jump into a new and hopefully exciting campaign under head coach Julian Nagelsmann. And during the time that we've been absent, just to kind of fill in the gaps, the Euros have taken place. Julian Nagelsmann has really come in and taken over and had his first training sessions and friendly matches as Bayern coach. Some of the new signings have arrived: Omar Richards, Dayo Upamecano. There's been some contract discussion, not a whole lot of transfer rumors, a few friendlies, but really not much else other than that. So that's really what you can expect us to discuss here in this episode. But I want to start off with, you know, one question: is there really been a big standout winner or loser in your eyes during this offseason or preseason or whatever it is that you want to call it? And Tim, I'm going to come to you first because I know that you've been able to watch the majority of Bayern's friendlies. So yeah, just simple question: has anyone stood out positively or negatively in your eyes during those games?
Yeah, Omar Richards, and I'm not saying that because we share the same surname. I think he's been really interesting. I think so obviously he's kind of been one of the people that's come through in like a very unfamiliar situation, in so much as he's come from the Championship in England, whereas like somebody like Jamal Musiala, for example, came through Chelsea's academy in England, one of the best academies in probably in Europe, actually, but then was very much like assimilated and part of the Bayern, I guess, like atmosphere, so to speak, mythos, I guess, maybe. And so when it came to him getting his minutes, it made sense that he was that familiar with the club and was probably it was a surprise to everybody just how good he was. But, you know, it kind of made sense. For somebody like Omar Richards to come in and having only moved to Germany, I guess, like just a few weeks ago, really, it's fantastic. He's been really great. He's kind of played he's played predominantly as a left back, but, you know, much like we've all kind of been debating for a while, Julian Nagelsmann has a number of different setups that he wants to be implementing. And so with that, he's been playing as a left winger, as like a left wing back. Basically, he's kind of covered the entire left side. And no matter where he is on the pitch, he looks really comfortable on the ball. He's like eager to go forward. He doesn't shy away from defending. I've seen like a couple of people liken him to Zé Roberto. So for like any newer fans, Zé Roberto was like a left-sided player that joined in 2002, I think. Stayed for a couple of years, went away, and then came back, and was kind of like this left-sided everyman. Eventually, kind of moved into like central midfield, kind of a little bit like Schweinsteiger's career, maybe. But he was really skillful, really energetic. And I remember the first time I saw Zé Roberto play, I was like astounded, and it was a feeling that I got the first time I saw Ribéry play and the first time I saw Douglas Costa play. And the fact that you can liken somebody like Omar Richards to Zé Roberto is just immense praise, I think. Obviously, he's not as young as other players are. I think he's 23, 22, 23. So despite being like presumably a backup for Alphonso Davies, is actually older than Davies. But I don't think that I don't really think like age is going to be too much of an issue for him. I think he's been absolutely fantastic, and I said earlier on Twitter, it looks as if he's been with the club for about 5 or 6 years now. Like, he just looks really, really calm. And with Davies and Hernandez out injured for the start of the season, most likely, I don't think there's anything to worry about with him being thrown in at the deep end. I think he's done really, really well there.
You see, my follow-up question, and you kind of addressed that already, was going to be, do you think you could see him challenge, maybe not challenging for a starting spot, but I mean, yeah, I guess that is it, challenging for a starting spot with Alphonso Davies and Lucas Hernandez being in there as well. And you kind of addressed that. And I know it's hard to, you know, make such a claim having only watched a few friendlies, but it's definitely exciting to hear that it looks like we've got a solid rotation option at the very least, potentially something much more. But Tim, I'm going to stay with you real quick. You talked about Omar Richards standing out positively as a winner. Are there any losers that stood out to you based on what you've seen?
Yeah, there's kind of two names there, and it's I don't think this would be a surprise to anybody. It's Joshua Zirkzee and Michael Cuisance. Zirkzee had like it's a difficult situation because I don't think it's as cut and dry as he was bad. I don't think he did brilliantly the other day, but I've seen a few people say that this was like a really good game for him against Ajax. The issue though is that there was this conversation around like his attitude or like his concentration, his determination, so to speak. And I don't know if everybody else has seen the clip, but for those that haven't, he's not through on goal, but he gets the ball round the keeper and it's heading towards the goal and he doesn't do anything. He just kind of lets it run. Meanwhile, an Ajax defender cuts it out and tackles him, and it's a chance to go into halftime with a lead. I think that was the case anyway. It's certainly like the game ended 2-2, so like it was a chance to score like a winning goal or like take the lead. And it was like really, really frustrating because I know that this is like one moment out of, I guess, I think he played like 60 minutes or so, like 50, 60 minutes. But there was just something about that kind of, it stands out more than anything. And it was a big shame. And so he played today against Gladbach in this friendly. And you could see that there was something about him where he really wanted to do something. And so he's really eager in getting the ball. Like he was always making himself available. He was also trying to win the ball back as well. It was good defensive contributions, but it just didn't seem to click. And like, you know, that happens sometimes. Like the best players in the world have off days. And the problem with that though is that his off day has come at like a time where he really needed to not have an off day. Like again, it wasn't that he was bad. It's just it's really marred by this one situation that does kind of summarize like almost this overarching problem with Zirkzee, which is a huge shame because yeah, it's so frustrating to see that. But then like to see that miss. But then to see him try to rectify the situation and work, I'd say he worked really, really hard today and tried his hardest. And obviously, if you don't score, if you don't assist, that tells one story. But I don't know, I want to maybe think that this is potentially the last time that we've seen him on the pitch. And it will be a shame because he is so young and clearly could offer something. But I think it's frustrating that what Bayern need, he can't quite deliver with. The other name I mentioned was Cuisance, and he's somebody that had issues at Gladbach with his attitude, and then apparently there were issues with him at Bayern with his attitude, and then he went to Marseille on loan and there were problems there with his attitude, and today he just looked really aggressive and surly, and I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of his, so I can't really say without being like horrendously biased or so, but I don't know. I think at halftime, I know it wasn't at halftime, but basically the entire team was substituted off, not as like a protest or anything. It was just, you know, rotation, pre-season friendly. And I believe everybody kind of went to the bench or like went up into the stands. And I think, I don't know if this is correct, I saw this on Twitter, but both Zirkzee and Cuisance just went straight to the locker room and didn't come out. And obviously that's one thing where you see it happen, you don't know what happens afterwards, you don't know what happens before, but it's not a great look. But of all of the people that, you know, stood out in the wrong way, those are the two that are the most prominent, and I'm very disappointed about one of them. But as for Cuisance, I don't think this is a surprise for many people.
Yeah, really not a surprise at all. And for two players that really had a lot to prove coming into the preseason, you would have hoped for a lot more. And so, yeah, it's definitely disappointing that they've sort of fallen short. But Garrett, Sebastian, we haven't heard anything from you guys yet. Tim's kind of talked about what he saw in the friendlies. Maybe there's been something, maybe from the Euros or just something over the past few months that has stood out to you that you want to point out as, I think, you know, this person or this thing is a big win for Bayern, or something is a big loss. Someone stands out as a big loser. Garrett, what would that be for you?
It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I think Bonassar is probably a big winner of this summer. He has not been sold from Bayern and still getting that nice little paycheck. And Bayern, he still looks like he's the backup right back right now. And so, you know, good for him. I'm glad that he's still able to kind of hitch a ride on this Bayern train. But I think in all reality, I think Bayern just kind of having an off season where it's not constant. Will they sign? Won't they sign? Rumors. I think that's kind of a win, as much as it's kind of frustrating for us at times to not have a ton of different signings to talk about. I think it is kind of nice to be focusing on what's going to happen on the pitch with the players that we currently have. And I think with the focus being mostly on this new coach, that feels like a win for Bayern, as far as I'm concerned. Because there are so many ways that those things can go sour quickly. So that'd be kind of the only things that that would stand out. I would say that, you know, it seems like Leon Goretzka's stock has gone up since the Euros. I think he showed really well at the Euros, and so I think that really helped his stock. I don't know that helped Bayern in their situation with him, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But he definitely had a good summer. So he's one that can be happy that his trajectory is continuing up.
Garrett, I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I'm surprised Garrett didn't say that Bayern's new home kits were a big loser in his opinion, with as
they
much
are.
As he's talked they about are. That.
The whole kit, you know, away and home, I'm not thrilled with. I'm okay with the thing about the home kits. When you look at them, like on the pitch, you don't notice the little details, like the little chevron thing that's going on there, and so that kind of helps a little bit. I just, to me, it's too much going on, so. Yeah, it is what it is. I'm pretty white bread Midwest guy, so.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm shocked that you don't like them. I think I'm really happy with them.
Yeah, same.
It's a bit shocking that you'd like neither of them. I guess there's still one more to go, so.
They'll have to put out just like a plain white t-shirt with Bayern Munich written. In handwritten across it, and then I'll be thrilled.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to go in a kind of a different direction that Garrett went here, just from a, I guess, slightly different perspective. Yeah, when we think about this as whose stock rose, like whose position kind of improved, who would have, like, I don't know if you know that game I used to play, Comunio, when I like a couple of years ago. That's kind of manager game here in Germany. I don't think it's international. I'm not quite sure where you kind of trade players back and forth, and the value of them is really volatile. Seeing it from that perspective, the people whose market value would have improved right now would definitely be our right backs, which is kind of Bonassar and maybe even someone like Chris Richards or something, which is probably a big win for those guys. And yeah, I don't hate Chris Richards, of course, but it's definitely a big loss for the club that there has still nothing has happened at the right back position. That's really so frustrating from my perspective. I guess like a kind of quiet summer is okay from a certain perspective. But yeah, there's just things we wanted fixed like for years now, and it has still not happened. And yeah, I'm getting again kind of anxious about this. I'm getting kind of afraid that nothing's going to happen again. And yeah, this is definitely not great, I must say.
Yeah, I wonder if the hope from the club with Julian Nagelsmann coming in is that more and more of these youth guys will actually, you know, make a run into the first team. All that being said, the seems like the one position where we're not seeing any like potential right back or potential youth guy coming up is right back. Justin Che from FC Dallas was one option, but he's back in MLS for the time being, at least it looks like until the winter. So yeah, disappointing that not only that nothing's being done to address that, but that the club is seems to be really adamant that nothing is going to be done.
I guess we don't count Josip Stanišić because he's also not our kind of right back, right? He's also 1 meter and 86 centimeters, whatever that is in feet and inches.
Maybe I'm definitely wrong, but yeah, I see him as more of a central defender, and I think didn't he play defensive midfield even today? Is that right?
I think he covered like six different positions. Well, that's hyperbole. Yeah, I saw him in the left back position. I saw him in the right back position as centre back, and then he also played like in the middle as like a central midfielder. And he didn't look terrible anywhere that he was. I know to say he's played like a couple of games for the senior team as a left back, and I think we all kind of said there was nothing about him that was like worth noting. In like the best possible way, like he didn't do a bad job. He didn't do a fantastic job, but he's still very young, so that's kind of it would be ridiculous to assume that he would be world class. I think he's going to be somebody. I could fully anticipate somebody like him being a regular in the squad in any position that is needed. I think he seems really versatile and comfortable wherever he is as well.
But yeah,
I wonder too how much obviously we know that a big part of not buying a new right back or much of anybody outside of, you know, Upamecano and then getting Nagelsmann. I wonder how much of it is that they figure that Nagelsmann can implement this three at the back system that they can use in the event that they need to go into the backup right back options, you know, behind Pavar. And if that has something to do at least with the level of comfortability that they have, it makes me a little bit less nervous about it. If he can get this implemented, but I agree. I mean, it's a little frustrating to keep this constantly being a problem spot. When it comes to that, Josip Stanišić, he, like you said, seems more like a left-sided guy than a right-sided guy. But if he can play any of those positions in a pinch, then that'll certainly be a help.
Well, we've talked about his name a lot, so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Julian Nagelsmann, because a lot of the excitement heading into this new season definitely surrounds him. Sebastian, I'll go ahead and come to you first. What are your first impressions about Nagelsmann's time at the club? I know it's not been very long, but has anything stood out? Has he done enough to really give an impression to you? What are you thinking about Nagelsmann so far?
It's really hard to come up with a lot here. I guess the best thing I can say here is that there haven't been any problems, really. He hasn't looked bad, like, in any kind of situation. He seems to handle everything quite well. He seems to be confident. He seems to be fine with the media so far. Maybe even, well, yeah, sometimes a bit rough kind of with media and with the fans, I felt like. But yeah, overall, pretty much fine, I would say. So because if you remember, I think that this was kind of one of my biggest concerns with Nagelsmann. I think there are a few kind of football concerns with him. He's definitely a good coach. He knows what he's doing. He's good in terms of tactics. He's good in a lot of things, I would say. But one of my concerns was that this media pressure would be kind of a lot for him, maybe. And I haven't seen any of that yet, really. And this is definitely one thing I can say is positive. In terms of the actual game, it's really hard to come up with much that was really good or really bad, because as we all know, in these early games, nothing much has happened, really. The games were kind of okay. We lost a couple of them, but, well, okay. I mean, there was like, I think now we had two kind of starters on the team today, so if you count, I think Upamecano and Gnabry. So, yeah, this is just saying nothing, really, and I think it's good that we have seen, like, a handful of players looking pretty good, and a couple of players looking normal, kind of, but, yeah, there's just not much you can conclude from that. So this is really the only thing I can go on here. From that perspective, I'm pretty happy, and I hope this continues. But, yeah, of course, things are going to step up. Things are going to change when this first game against Gladbach rolls around, the proper game, on the first match day. And then we will see how Julian Nagelsmann deals with all that and what kind of football he's going to play. Because so far, I really can't tell. Maybe you guys have already more of an idea. I don't know. But it's really hard to pinpoint for me, like, any actual changes that I can already see in the way he's, like, trying to play football or something. I think we really have to wait for the first game to see that. At least for me, maybe I'm just not paying enough attention. I don't know. But yeah, I guess I have to wait to see some of that, and then it will be easier to say something, I suppose.
I guess that's a question probably better addressed by Tim, who's been able to watch more of the games. Has anything stood out to you regarding Julian Nagelsmann?
I think it's something that I always consider to be like a very good thing in a manager, is that if you can lose a game, but you can still look away thinking, that was good. Like, that was pretty good. So, like, today we lost 2-0, but there's enough there to suggest that it didn't have to be 2-0. I think they were like two fairly decent goals from Gladbach. But I don't know. I think there's also an argument that could be made that it was the young guys that regularly play together that look the best. But that comes with like a familiarity, and everybody kind of knows where everybody is and how everybody else moves. I just really liked how they played. Despite losing 2-0, obviously you don't want to read too much into preseason results. But despite losing 2-0, I still kind of left that game thinking, that was good. Like, I'm feeling confident. And like, with the first team players back soon, it's really kind of nothing to be worried about. Because obviously the first team players are going to be, you know, with all due respect, they're going to be more intelligent. They're going to have a better tactical knowledge than a lot of the younger players will do. So, yeah, I think everything's kind of pointing in the right direction, that with the right people, this could be really good. Some really nice passing sequences. Everybody, there was one thing that I noticed in particular was when Nianzou and Upamecano would come out to defend, they'd win the ball back, they'd play it, and then they wouldn't progress further, like to join the attack. And as somebody that was like growing increasingly frustrated with just how attacking we were last season, like almost in lieu of any defensive stability, I think it's great that the centre backs do their job, and then they know, okay, it's time to go back and secure the defence again. I remember players like Lucio in the past would pick up the ball, kind of run a very, very long way with it. And then there was something around like 2008 or so where he'd run with the ball, get to halfway, and then be like, okay, my job's done. And then he'd kind of like trudge back. So I don't know. I think there seems to be a big focus on defensive stability now, which I think I'm certainly in favor of.
It's something that we definitely definitely need if you look at our past few seasons. So definitely not a bad thing there. Other than Nagelsmann, the preseason friendlies, there hasn't been a lot of transfer talk regarding Bayern this summer, but there has been a lot of, I guess, contract talks, if you will, a lot of players whose future maybe isn't totally up in the air, but it is at least being talked about. And recently, one of those has been Leon Goretzka, who we did bring up a little bit earlier. And his contract expires next season. And Garrett, like you said, he's kind of become a foundational player for Bayern, and that his stock only rose even more this past summer with Germany. And now the contract talks that are ongoing with him, there's a lot of rumors suggesting that he may think about leaving at the end of the year, that a lot of clubs want him, which is kind of a duh, who doesn't want him. But do you think all these rumors, everything that's going on, is mostly just, I guess, kind of smoke, maybe put out by his agent to get him a better deal, maybe just the media looking for something to write about? Or do you think there's actually a potential that Leon Goretzka is considering moving on from Bayern at the end of the season?
I think it makes all sense in the world that he's getting interest. I don't know how much to buy stock in him seriously considering leaving, just because the talk all last year and even most of this summer was that they were headed towards a contract extension. The thing that kind of bothers me about this situation, as well as with Kingsley Coman and a few other players, is, and I don't know, maybe this would be kind of a shock to people, but like, to me, I would be looking at selling Leon Goretzka at this point, or I would just go ahead and overpay for him. Because if you're waiting until the last year of a player's deal to start talking extension, you've kind of lost all the leverage anyway. So to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that Bayern are kind of dragging their feet with this whole thing. And if they're going to want to keep him and not have an Alaba situation again, and maybe that's just kind of coloring my opinion as well, but if they want another Alaba situation, they should go ahead and, you know, not worry about meeting halfway, start worrying about just backing off just a tad off of what their, you know, his wage ask is. Because he's proven to be really valuable to the team. And so if they think that that's going to continue and they want that to continue, then pay the man. But I understand there's wage, you know, structures that they're trying to deal with and all that sort of thing. But again, I just kind of think if you're going to wait until the last season of a guy's deal, you've lost a lot of leverage in terms of, you know, how much you can negotiate with them on price or on wages. So yeah, I hope it gets resolved. I mean, he's been super valuable to us, at least especially in the past year. But with a new coach coming in and with, you know, potentially new systems and things like that, if you're going to make a change, I wouldn't be as heartbroken if he left before this year. Now, if they end up losing Goretzka for, you know, for nothing, then I'll be really upset with Bayern and not so much with Goretzka, because again, he deserves to go where he wants to go if they're not gonna sell him or pay him what he wants. So I don't know. It feels like with Goretzka's situation and with Kingsley Coman's situation, they're both similar in that it feels like you waited way too long to talk into extension. Obviously with Coman, he feels a little bit more, it's a little more excess to have him on the squad than maybe it is Goretzka, but yeah, these sorts of contract situations are starting to be really concerning, how often this sort of thing keeps popping up.
Yeah, I agree, especially right after Alaba leaving. Man, losing Goretzka for free in his prime would be even more devastating, I think, than losing David Alaba was this past summer. And so I would say, yeah, it should be at the top of Bayern's priority list for sure. Any listener, any Bayern fan isn't unfamiliar with the whole Kingsley Coman situation. I feel like that's been going on for months already. But there was, I guess, a sort of update over the summer. He is now going to be wearing the number 11 heading into the new season. And so we're here to speculate a little bit, I guess. Sebastian, do you think that the club handing him the number 11 is maybe a sign that they really want him to stay? Maybe it's a sign from Coman that he wants to stay. Or do you think that's reading a little bit too much into it?
That's a good question, because I'm not quite sure who takes these decisions. Maybe you guys know, like, who's responsible for giving out the numbers. If we knew that were kind of a Hassan thing, maybe it is. It is a weird situation again with Kingsley Coman. I don't know. He has had kind of an okay Euros, I feel. It could have been much worse. But yeah, it's still this weird situation and nothing's going forward. And I guess I want to tie that into what we heard about Goretzka earlier, because this is one of the things that has become kind of annoying to me, and I read up on that earlier today. There have often been these kind of hints that Salihamidzic's approach kind of is taking these things like one after the other. So, okay, first we fix this one, then we fix this one, and then we only start talking about the next one. And I have come to think more and more that this is one of the big issues why things are sometimes not working out with Hasan Salihamidzic. Maybe that's also something that played into that whole Timo Werner situation. Another player we might talk about today, I don't know, because there are rumors again. Yeah, and I think maybe this is happening here too, because I think Goretzka has now become the higher priority compared to Kingsley Coman. I don't know if you read that. I think that only came out today, maybe yesterday, that Herbert Heiner has kind of said he's hopeful that the whole Goretzka situation might be fixed within the week or next week. That would be brilliant, of course, and then we also might see some movement with the whole Coman situation, because just handing him a new jersey number is not going to fix the situation, of course. I think he's not going to be happy if there's not going to be a new contract, and they really need to do something at that front, I suppose. And yeah, the whole problem with that is I still don't know if I would rather keep him or lose him, but I just don't see anyone really paying the kinds of money the club, I think, wants for him. And I also doubt that we would reinvest that kind of money, even if we got it. So yeah, it's a bit of a messy situation there. Yeah, I guess my mind is not so much focused on Kingsley Coman right now, but more on the whole Goretzka situation. I guess, yeah, to sum it up, I think the number 11 is maybe a small sign that probably that's something he wanted, and that's something you can give him without having to give up much. It's not a high price to pay to make that guy ever so slightly happier, to show him a bit more that you appreciate what he has done for the club. Okay, but yeah, the real work still has to be done on that, I would say.
Tim, maybe you would know, but who's the longest tenured player for Bayern with the number 11 shirt? Because I feel like this may be a sign that he's going out the door more so than staying. I can't think of a guy who's had that number for longer than two seasons before they moved on.
I think it's somebody I mentioned earlier. I believe it is Zé Roberto. I'll have to check that, but yeah, Zé Roberto joined 2002, left 2006, yeah. Maybe. I think before that, like, Stefan Effenberg, he mm-hmm. was there.
Funny enough, I already had those pulled up, because I was I was checking the last player to not be left-footed, the easier way to say is to be right-footed and wear the number 11, because Kingsley Coman taking on the number 11 kind of ruins our ongoing joke about the left-footed 11s. But yeah, Stefan Effenberg, who left in 2002, was the last right-footed player to wear the number 11. And Zé Roberto, like you said, Tim, was the longest tenure, and that's only 2002 to 2006. So yeah, there is definitely a trend of a first left-footed players wearing number 11. But like you said, Garrett, the number 11 is almost like a sign that they've got 2 or 3 years at the most, and then they're out of here. So interesting development. We'll just have to keep an eye on that. And I guess I should mention Leon Goretzka got a new number as well. He's going to be the number 8 going forward. So maybe Hasan Salihamidzic's whole entire contract negotiation strategy is I'll just give him a new number and see if that smooths things over. And so I guess we'll see how that goes. Are there any other contract talks that I'm missing out on? I feel like we haven't really had any updates on Tolisso, who's probably not going to be going anywhere now that he's got COVID, right? I just read that, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought.
I guess there's also the not as pressing situation with Joshua Kimmich, because Herbert Heine also mentioned Kimmich in that interview that I heard about. And it even sounded like there might be developments regarding Kimmich also, hopefully next week. I cannot quite see that. I don't think there's something like that happening so soon. But that would be nice, like giving him a longer contract pretty soon would also, yeah, something I would definitely like, because I think there's no doubt that we want to keep him for a long time still.
Do they do lifetime contracts at the club? Because I think that might be appropriate. And also, if anybody was going to have like an argument to become the highest paid player at the club, it would definitely be Joshua Kimmich.
Yeah, I mentioned something like that a little while ago, how I'm a big fan of Leroy Sané, and that's the kind of the debate. Like, Kingsley Coman is asking for Sané money. Neither of them have really delivered the performances that would warrant those kind of wages. So I was thinking, okay, what players at the squad in the squad actually deserve to be paid, you know, like the top money? So I don't know what Lewandowski is earning. I think it's like 20 million or like around there. So in my eyes, it's Lewandowski, it's Manuel Neuer, it's Thomas Müller, and everybody else. I think out of everybody else, only Joshua Kimmich can really say this is what I deserve. I think Goretzka has been really great the past season. The thing is, I think he's only been really great the past season. I think before that, I think we even spoke about this quite a bit. He had a tendency to kind of disappear at times, like not really have much of an impact. He's really turned that around, and he is like a very impactful player and really does, you know, throw his weight around, of which that is a tremendous amount because, you know, the muscles and everything. But I think if he has like another really good season, this coming season, I think he'll certainly be on his way. But I do think that there's only like a very, very select handful that do have some sort of claim for like the absolute top spot in terms of wages.
I guess one thing that speaks really in favor of Leon Goretzka is that relationship he has both on and off the pitch with Joshua Kimmich. It's almost like as long as we plan on keeping Joshua Kimmich, as long as we plan on playing Joshua Kimmich in midfield, why not also keep Leon Goretzka? Because the two have just proven time and time again, just kind of like Thomas Müller and Robert Lewandowski, they've proven that, yeah, they're both great players individually, but when you play them together, when they're both, you know, anchoring down that midfield, it's like compounded into this even, you know, they're both more impressive than the sum of their parts, and it just becomes this even better midfield. And so, yeah, Leon Goretzka, you know, individually has been impressive, but when you combine that with how good he is next to Kimmich, it's just even more so. And then, yeah, I guess one name that we haven't mentioned yet, whose contract does expire next season, and we haven't really heard anything about recently, is Niklas Süle. With how Nianzou's been playing in the preseason and the excitement of Diogo Makano coming in, Lucas Hernandez really impressing last season, Niklas Süle's kind of in a weird spot. It's almost like he may not even be starting, which is weird to say, may not even be a starter heading into this new season. Sebastian, have you're in Germany. Have you heard anything recently regarding him and his contract situation? And what would you, I guess, speculate his future might be at or if not at the club?
Well, I have heard absolutely nothing, I gotta say. And it's really, really a bit weird. I don't know. You would expect that there would be like more going on, but there doesn't seem to be. And if there's something, it's just really very, very vague. There's no real information there. No meat on the bone, really. And yeah, there should be things happening. Like, there should be contract talks. There should be more about that. But also, there should be more from Niklas Süle, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I would like to see, like, I don't know, something from him. Like, I don't know, why is he not, like, doing something? Why is he not, like, showing up somewhere? Why do we not hear more from him? Like, giving an interview where he says, I really want to step up this year. I really want to show that I'm good enough for this. Or something like that. But he's also not showing up saying, like, oh, I want to leave. I want to go to this nice club there. And that's really a bit weird, I think. You would expect him to either say, okay, this is going to be the season when I reclaim my starting spot, or you would expect him like to be really thinking about leaving the club. But I don't know, there's like nothing. And that kind of, in a weird way, kind of fits with the talk about him maybe also having attitude issues. Maybe his mind isn't focused on that, not focused on his next step, where this is going to go. Maybe he's just doing something else, focusing on having a nice holiday, focusing on, I don't know what his family situation is. I don't remember. Something like that. And this is slightly concerning, I would say, because it's now or never for him. And he looked so good a couple of years ago. He looked like a guy we would have back there for years and years to come. And now, yes, it might all fall apart. And that's, yeah, just really, really, really concerning, I would say.
I guess I'm not really sure how to read the situation even with that. Because on the one hand, like you said, Sebastian, like, he's not saying anything, but I don't know if it's concerning or encouraging that the club's not saying anything either. Like, the club's not talking, you know, anybody, you know, from Nagelsmann to Oliver Kahn to Brazo to any of those guys. They're no one's saying, oh yeah, we're talking about, you know, extending Niklas Süle, or we're really excited to get in there and see how he does in, you know, in the 11. Like, is he just like an afterthought? And, you know, on the one hand, I could see it being an encouraging sign that they're not, you know, actively shopping him around. But I could also, and then he's not saying anything, and that being just like, he's got his head down, he's just working, and everything's, you know, hunky dory. But then if you turn it the other way, and maybe it's quiet because they're trying to not ruin a deal, and he's on his way out, and that's why he's not saying anything. So there's so many just weird situations, and like, and I know that I was talking with a buddy today about just the state of football in general when it comes to like contracts and stuff, and how we as fans oftentimes we focus so much on the transfer fees involved that we don't really talk about the contract side of things, and that seems where most of the drama happens. And so it's just really interesting to see that Bayern have so many players in kind of this in-between land. And I think Serge Gnabry is even one of those guys that we're still not sure when they're thinking about talking extension or anything like that, because his contract's up at the same time that Kingsley Coman's is in 2023. So, you know, I don't know why that we're not hearing more about an extension for him, especially given that, you know, if given between him and Coman, I'd rather keep Gnabry. But yeah, it's a weird time at Bayern. So the beginning of the season can't get here soon enough so we can start talking about what's going on the pitch and not what's happening off of it.
Right. Well, the beginning of the season is just over 2 weeks away when Bayern will kick off again against Gladbach in the Bundesliga. And yeah, like we've discussed, there's a lot to keep an eye on between now and then. But that's all the time that we have for this episode. If you have enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can reach out to us at superbyronpod@gmail.com, or you can just go follow us on Twitter at superbyronpod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.